In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby. Actually, let's go to the phone and let's talk to Alan Adams. How are you today, Alan?
I'm doing all right, Bruce. How are you?
I'm hanging in. I'm trying to get the hang of this radio thing.
I've been listening. You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. I imagine you saw a film or two, and you'd like to tell us about them.
I have. We're gonna do some sort of rapid fire business today. I got five on the docket, Bruce. So
all righty, it's like Queen's Gambit. I just hit the timer.
We'll start with the sort of the bottom end of the spectrum here. We've got a couple of movies. One a sort of indie comedy, and one a Chinese blockbuster. On the one hand, we have a movie called Buddy Games. It's the directorial debut of actor Josh Duhamel. And it is, sometimes, Bruce, you will go to the movies and you want works of sophistication that are beautifully shot and exquisitely performed. And other times, you just want dudes and bros being dudes and bros. And this one is very much the latter. The basic gist is it's a group of buddies who've been assembling for years for this event that they call the Buddy Games. It's basically, I refer to it as an idiot Olympiad. It's just a bunch of ridiculous physical challenges that take place over the course of a few days, based at the camp of Bob, who Josh Duhamel, who also stars. He also wrote the screenplay as well. He sort of hosts at his camp, and he's got this crew of buddies. It's actually a wonderful cast. You've got Dax Shepard, Dan Bacadal, James Rode, Kevin Dillon, Nick Swartzen, and it's just these lifelong friends. They've been doing this for years, but then There's a spite-driven mishap that leads to, I call it a tragedy, but it's actually kind of hilarious, and the games come to an end. They're divided by the event, they go their separate ways, and their friendship has been permanently altered. 5 years pass, and circumstances bring them back, only this time, there's money involved. And so things rapidly spin out of control as these guys rediscover their arrested development and really start to delve into the reasons why they like and kind of don't like one another. That's basically it. Like, it's perfectly fine. Like, it's not, certainly not for everybody. Like, it's one of those movies where there's nobody to really root for, and we don't like anybody in a story that is all about winning something. Like, that's a pretty serious detriment. So again, Buddy Games, it's fine, but it's like, it's not going to be for everyone. And so if you're not, you're not feeling it. You know, sometimes the only way to win is just not to play.
All righty, what's next?
Oh, the other one it's a movie called Vanguard. It stars Jackie Chan, teamed up with his longtime collaborator Stanley Tong. It's actually a massive blockbuster. Like a 100 million plus movie that, frankly, Bruce, and I'm not blaming the language barrier here. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. This movie. The gist is you have a high-end accountant who finds himself to pot water thanks to some bad doings with some bad dudes. He rats out his former partner, which set into motion circumstances that lead to his former partner, being killed. His dead partner's son wants revenge, and so to save himself, the accountant enlists the series of Vanguard, which is an elite private security firm run by Jackie Chan. His team save the accountant from a kidnap attempt, but the bad guys instead turn to go after the guy's daughter, and then we start trotting the globe, Bruce. We go to Africa, we go to Taiwan, we go to Dubai, we go to London, just all over, and they're definitely going to these places. These are on-location shoots, but I gotta tell you, like, none of it, like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, we're doing chases on rivers with jet skis, and then there's a night spent in a treehouse, and everyone goes to Dubai, and Dubai is a cartoon on a whole other level anyway, and it's just ridiculous. But again, you're not here for the story. You're here for the action. That's why you watch Jackie Chan movies. And there's a lot of the practical stunt work that you kind of hope to see from these movies, including the aforementioned river chase, where apparently Mr. Chan actually did almost drown at one point, because you find that out. You see it in the obligatory end-of-credits sequence, where everybody, they show us the bloopers, such as it is. again, it's the action is fine, but like the story is bordering on incomprehensible. And this one's only for the completists, I think. If you're not hardcore into Jackie Chan, you could probably skip this one.
Well, then I probably won't see that one. What's up next?
Next up, a couple of really good ones coming from Hulu. The first one dropped on Friday. It's a movie called Run, and it's written and directed by Anish Chaganti, who's behind the really excellent movie Searching from 2018. And it's this wonderful sort of, the tagline that keeps getting tossed around is Room meets Gone Girl. So it's got this sort of weird combination of Munchausen by proxy and Stockholm Syndrome going on. It's, you know, the basic, yeah, we've seen the Mother from Hell movie a million times, but few get to this level. Like, there are some moments that sort of teeter on the edge of camp, which is always a concern with these kinds of movies, like, but it's really, the director's got a real steady hand, and the performances in the lead keep things on the rails. And that sort of barely restrained sense of lunacy really contributes to just an excellent, I thought, viewing experience. Sarah Paulson plays Diane Sherman, a woman who has devoted her life to raising her daughter. The child was born with numerous health issues. She's got asthma and skin conditions and this extreme leg weakness that confines her to a wheelchair. Her name's Chloe, and she's played by this wonderful young actress named Kira Allen. This is her feature debut, but we're going to see a lot of her going forward, I think. She's grown into a smart, lovely young woman, and she's preparing. She's 17. She's getting ready to leave the nest and head off to college, though she's waiting to still hear back. They seem like a good team. You know, the mom's a little overprotective, but it all seems to be in service of the daughter's well-being. At least that's how it appears. But as we examine closer, stuff doesn't really add up. And it's when Chloe takes it upon herself to examine the situation with a more critical eye that she starts to have some serious questions. And these are questions that her mom is content to either laugh off or ignore. The deeper she digs, the more she discovers about the underlying truth of her situation, and she discovers there's a lot she doesn't know about her mother and, you know, and their situation. The mom, bound and determined to protect her daughter, although in this case, it seems like maybe the cure might be worse than the disease. It's well-constructed. The reveals are parceled out effectively. The narrative is convoluted, but it's maintained really well, very twisty-turny. And the performances are just phenomenal. Sarah Paulson is a dynamite actress. Like, she's great in everything. And this young woman, Kiri Allen, is going to be a star. Like, she's fantastic as well. So,
yeah, I read something in the Times.
Flaws, but, yeah, it's really good stuff.
Yeah, I read in the Times that she was very good. So you got another one from Hulu?
I do. It hasn't dropped yet. It comes out on Wednesday. It's a movie that I think a lot of people are looking forward to. It's called Happiest Season. It stars Kristen Stewart, Mackenzie Davis, Mary Steenburgen is in it, Victor Garber, and a bunch of Dan Levy, just a wonderful cast. And it's a holiday rom-com, but instead of the standard sort of throwaway holiday rom-com stuff that we tend to expect from the streaming services, this is actually a pretty sophisticated piece of filmmaking. It's written and directed by Clea DuVall. She's better known as an actress, but this is her second feature. And it's just outstanding. It's smart, and it's got a sly, subversive vibe to it, as far as the genre is concerned. Like, the cast is dynamite, obviously. The story is thoughtful, and it manages to sort of strike the balance between maneuvering relationship complexities that come with the holidays and meeting parents and that old feel, while also exploring some of the realities that come with queer romance. It's a very representational movie, but in a way that it doesn't really, it's difficult to articulate this, but it's like, it's important that element is front and center, but it doesn't matter that that element
right.
is front and center, if that makes sense.
Yes,
like, it's
it
not
does.
About that.
It does.
And it's just, it's really sharp. And it's basically, Kristen Stewart and Mackenzie Davis play a couple. They're in love. They've been together for a while, living together. And when time comes, Harper, Mackenzie Davis's character, finally invites Abby home to Christmas to meet her family. And Abby is thrilled. She's gonna fully commit. And despite misgivings of her friends, including a guy named John, played by Dan Levy, she's going to pop the question. But it's not going to be that simple. See, turns out that not only has Harper not told her family that they're a couple, she hasn't told them that she's gay because they've got a very conservative outlook, and her dad has political aspirations, and so she's concerned about keeping up appearances. And from there we get the standard, like, you know, mistaken identity, like, oh yeah, we're actually roommates kind of, shenanigans. But all the while you have this really wonderful and thoughtful deconstruction of what it means to be, for all intents and purposes, you know, feeling like you're trapped in the closet by your family. And, that element really adds this wonderful sort of, lushness to the story as a whole, which would work just as a straightforward romantic comedy. It's really well written. It's really funny. There are a couple of great set pieces, but it has this whole other level in a way that you don't necessarily anticipate from these sorts of movies. So, I got to say, I loved this movie, and it drops November 25th on Wednesday. And I can't stress enough, if you have any interest in the genre, in the sort of representation that it represents and all that stuff, like, you should check it out because it is great.
That sounds good. Do we have one more? We got a couple of minutes left.
I do have one more. It's a documentary that I was very excited to see. It's called Insert Coin. And it's the story of the video game company Midway, written and directed by a young filmmaker by the name of Josh Sui. It basically tells the story of the second wave arcade renaissance of the early to mid 1990s, and Midway was king because they led the way with two of the most popular video games of that era. They developed Mortal Kombat and they developed NBA Jam, and those two games defined that era of arcades in a way that no other games really did. And as someone, you know, who basically came of age in that particular stretch, it's a world that I think is going to ring very familiar to my fellow late Gen X folks, as well as the early millennials. Like, it's just wonderful, just in terms of talking to all the people who made these games, the people who were influenced by these games, and going behind the scenes to the making of these games, because they sort of pioneered the idea of digitization of video for video games, you know, pixelating these studio shot videos and incorporating them into their games, lending a degree of verisimilitude that we hadn't really seen before. And that's why games like Mortal Kombat, which was so visceral and violent, and games like NBA Jam, which was both realistic and cartoonish, like, you really just sort of had these wonderful, two sides of the same coin. Between the two, there was literally no one who wasn't going to be able to find something that they enjoyed in their local arcade. It's a wonderfully constructed documentary, really thoughtful, really smart. And the director obviously had a massive, massive connection to the source material, because that's the only way you can make a movie like this. And it's just, yeah, if you have any interest in that era of video games, video gaming, arcades, the whole shebang, like, it, you need to check it out. And this is another one that that hasn't dropped yet, but it will be hitting virtual cinemas, I believe, on November 25th.
Well, Alan, thank you so much to get five in that fast. That was above and beyond the call. I hope you and Sheridan and Stella and the cats have a great Thanksgiving, and we will, Rich will be talking to you this time next week, and I'll see you again on Wednesday.
Sounds good, man.
Thanks, Alan. It was Alan Adams with Pass the Popcorn.